You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Driving the Car Documentary Road Trip, Episode 2. I mean, Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Episode 203. My name's Rob. Jason's holding the recorder again.
Hi.
We're driving home from Unpub.
Indeed we are.
Yeah. It's raining. We're about 30 miles southeast of Cleveland right now, heading west. We left at about 7 a.m. this morning. Right now it's almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we've got, I figure, about 4 hours left on the drive. Take a bit, and we're pretty exhausted.
Indeed,
it was a good weekend. It was a busy weekend and a very tiring weekend, but I think it was very good. Kind of not sure where to start. So why don't you start?
All right. Well, lots of stuff happened. We did lots of play testing.
Yeah.
I played my game 13 times.
Woo!
And that was pretty good for only having a table. On two half days. I did end up scoring some more table time on the second day because Jason Tagmeyer decided to leave early, and on my table was scheduled for the morning. He was nice enough to let me have his table for the afternoon, so I did that. And I got more play tested in the afternoon than I did in the morning, so that was good.
That's great.
I was a little nervous about not getting those done, but because I wanted to get at least 10. That was my goal. So 13 was good. And the 13th ended really, really well. And so at that point, I was like, I'm going to call it and just be done. So the 13th game I did, was three guys. They were friends. And playing Minecart Madness. And we get to the end of the track. And literally everyone is on the last card. So we're all within two of winning. Two of the guys are tied for first and the last place on the tile. I'm one behind them, and then in the top lane with an open path to victory is the third guy, and he's one back. So he needs to use one of those go cards in the game, which lets you move two spaces, and he wins the game. And he has three energy, which means he can roll the dice, and he says, I'm going to play go. And his friend said, really? You're going to take the easy way out? That's how you're going to do it? You're not going to roll? And they bullied him into rolling, and he rolled a one. So he literally moved one space, and then his friend promptly played a go card and won the game.
Nice.
So it was pretty funny. But the feedback was amazing. I was super-duper happy with the feedback that we got. I made a lot of changes to a game that I didn't think needed changes, but they're all for the good. And in the end, what they've done for me is they've made me be able to get the game down to 36 cards, down from 54, by, again, changing the way that I have people play cards. Instead of holding cards in your hand, I just have them as abilities right on the sheet. There's no reason you can't just use those that way. It literally works just as well that way. Actually works better. And it's less components, so it's pretty darn exciting.
Slam dunk, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the other changes I made were just some maneuvering changes for how, like, Punch It works, and that's the card that lets you run up past everyone. It's the rubber banding card that lets you now fly over them so that you don't push them as normal. I also added I made the plane track worse. There's now a tile that is literally an all-black tile where it's just a huge gap, and you have to swap that card to get out. And that card doesn't always end up out, but a lot of times it does. And then I made some other cards that make it harder to maneuver. That way, you're really maneuvering around a lot of things. I mean, the first player has to spend some extra energy when they're getting their lead to moving around some pieces to make it not so advantageous to be the first player.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how one with Minecart Madness. How was it with Galactic Scrappers?
Saturday So Saturday went from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. I quit at 7 on Saturday because I was just exhausted. So I played it 9 times on Saturday. And then on Sunday we went from 10 to 6 and I quit about 4:30. And on Sunday I got another 7 games in. So let's see. So a lot of good changes for me. Kind of across the board, people really liked the movement, which is kind of the core of the game, which is great. There were some people playing very poorly. And some people struggled with getting their mind around the way the movement works, and it would take them 2 or 3 rounds of the game for it to kind of finally click. Once they were into it, they were enjoying it. Change-wise, it was an evolution over the course of the day. But to simplify it for you, in the end, I ended up taking out fuel cards completely, doubled the number of actions that every robot gets while you're playing, simplified the economy, and took out a bunch of superfluous actions that people kind of enjoyed doing, but they were objectively not helpful. So removing that stuff allows people to not even have to worry about that and just focus on their goal. And I got to give a lot of credit to Jason Kotarski for helping me drill down and eliminate some waste. He really, you know, on Sunday morning, he kind of sat down and said, "Hey, let's try it." And we played it, and he said, he asked me a bunch of questions, and I gave him some crappy answers. And as I was saying them, I realized they were bad answers. And then he said, "Let's change these things and do it again." And we did it again, and it was awesome. Golden handed Kotarski, right?
He's good at that.
He's so good at that. So further testing went spectacularly after those changes. I feel excellent about the game. Like, this is more progress in 2 days than I probably would have made in a year on my own, just thinking about it on my own and playing with friends.
Yeah, so, and some of the changes you never may have come upon,
right,
without random suggestions from people.
Right, yeah.
Lots of different people.
Yeah. One of the things, originally in the game you could get 5 robots to do work for you, and pretty early on people were not buying robots, and they were winning the game with only the original 3 or having only bought 4. And they were kind of asking me, "Well, why do you have that 5th one if there's really no reason to do that?" And I was kind of justifying it by saying people ask for the 5th robot, so if they ask for it, why shouldn't I give it to them? And, you know, in certain board layouts where you have a really long ship, you might want to have that. And it was just justifications without a strong, solid reason behind it. It was just because I had originally imagined it to be 5 and just had that lodged in my head.
Right,
And people asked me that almost in every game. And at some point, I was like, "Oh crap! You know, I'm ignoring that comment from everybody, and I need to stop ignoring that." And that was a part of Jason helping me realize that as well.
So now you start with
2 robots, and I think you can only buy 1 more for a max of 3.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. Maybe a 4th, but I think 3 is probably enough. I did a game after those revisions with 4 players, where they could buy up to 4 robots. One of the players bought 4, 2 of them bought up to 3, and the other guy stuck with his original 2, and the guy with 2 won the game. So clearly that said to me, all right, 2's enough. Clearly, 2's enough. Why go crazy about it?
Right, and reduces your components, right, by only having 3 each?
Yeah.
Which isn't so bad.
Yeah, so I feel really good about that. Really, really good. So, it was well worth the trip. 100%.
Awesome. Yeah, So we got lots of good feedback. Let's talk about so what we did. So we drove in on Friday.
Yep.
We got there about four. Just in time to see a couple people and then see the announcement for Unpub 7, right? Mm-hmm. 7. So.
Yeah, it's going to be, I guess this is public knowledge now. They announced it to us, so we're going to say it.
Well, they announced it to like 100 people, so I feel like it's safe.
Right, not a secret. It's going to be on St. Patrick's Day weekend in Baltimore next year, which I have some mixed feelings about. I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm a big St. Patrick's Day partier or anything. I don't care about that from my perspective, but I worry about attendees. Daryl said that St. Patrick's Day is not a big deal in Baltimore, but I think what he means is that there's just no big parade or anything. But I'm sure people are still going to want to go out and party. That's what St. Patrick's Day is all about.
But that's Friday nights, so
yeah,
your Saturday AM might be a little slower.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The other thing is that somebody said that Gamma this year is that same weekend. And I don't know that. I haven't looked that up to validate that. But if that's true, that could potentially mean that there are fewer publishers attending Unpub next year.
That would be rough.
Not that there were a ton this year either. I think, and maybe this is a symptom of it being bigger this year, that publishers didn't have as much time to make all the rounds and see everybody. But to my knowledge, the only publisher I talked to while I was there was Jason Kotarski, and that's because we're buddies. You know, if another publisher sat down and played my game or even talked to me, I didn't realize that they were a publisher.
Right, yeah, I talked to one publisher. I had a meeting set with another, and they weren't able to make it, I guess. So we was at an official, like, this time, but it was like, hey, let's meet up. And I sent them a message, and they never got back to me the second time. So that was a bummer.
Yeah.
It does look like Gamma in 2017 is March 13th through the 17th. So
yeah. So it ends on the first day of Unpub.
Well, and it ends on the designer day. So,
yeah.
In theory, okay, if publishers wanted to, they could definitely come back. You know, and I think publishers, I think, are realizing this is a really good event for finding stuff. So, yeah.
Well, that's reassuring. I appreciate that, as a matter of fact. Okay, so I feel better about that now. Thank you for looking that up.
Yeah, no problem.
The other thing they did is they announced the price for full-time tables, which was up to $85. That's a $35 increase. Or is it a $30 increase?
They were 80.
This year? Were they 80?
Yeah, they were 80.
Oh, I thought they were...
No, that was the year before. They were $80 this year.
So only up a little bit. All right, well, that's, again, okay. Feeling better about that, too.
Rob just needed to clear some stuff up.
I did. Clearly I misunderstood something. So, good. Thank you for telling me that. And then anybody who was at Unpub could buy a table right away on the spot.
Yep. So...
So my first reaction to that was also like, okay, cool, now I don't have to worry about not getting a table, but what about all the people who didn't make it this year? But then you talked to Daryl after that, and he told you...
Yeah, he said that, you know, the idea is this is going to let them get more space and let them get a better feel for how many people can before committing, how many people can come, right?
Yeah.
Because the problem was last year, of course, they believe they'll sell out their tables, but they don't want to shoot too high and not have enough designers for tables, and then not be able to advertise for enough playtesters. And, you know, I do feel good that, you know, I heard a couple designers say this year, well, it's not like playtesters are really beating down my door this year. I'm a little concerned about more tables next year. Now, I did not have that problem, and neither did Rob. So,
right.
You know, I guess that I would ask to those designers, you know, what were you doing to try and get people at your table? You know, I was making sure to say hi to everyone as they walked past when I was looking for playtesters. I made solid eye contact with people. I had my game laid out in a way that looked appealing.
Yeah, approachable.
I wanted, you know, it to have it laid out. Even in my game looks pretty appealing, I think, when it's just in its base state of we're going to play. But for other games where maybe your game gets bigger as you go or changes as you go, hey, maybe lay that out, right? So even if that's not the full setup, maybe if it's a little deceiving as to what the exact setup is,
that
still may, seeing more bits and pieces may make people excited.
Yeah. That's something I do with Saloon Tycoon last year. It's, the initial game setup is just a bunch of stuff scattered all over the table.
Right, it just looks boring,
so
right?
So what I would do is I would just set up some cubes and tiles stacked to say, this is kind of what the game's going to look like 10 turns in. And people would walk by and say, oh man, that's all stacked up. What is that? I want to see what that is, right? But yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to know the audience at Unpub, right?
Right.
So I mean, these people came here to play games, and that's fantastic. But that doesn't mean they're going to walk up to you and say, I want to play your game right now. I don't care what it is. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
You know? You, like you said, you need to be approachable. You need to make eye contact. You need to greet people. You need to give them the sales pitch on your game, you know? And they say, hey, what is this? You say, my first answer is, it's the best game you're going to play today. You know?
Nice.
It's the best game you're going to play today. I already decided you're going to play this, and you don't even, I guess I'm going to play this because you just told me I'm going to play it.
Right.
And it's going to be the best experience I have all day.
See, with me, I just led with, well, this is about gnomes racing minecarts. And, like, five different groups of people were like, good enough, let's play.
Yeah, right.
The other thing people asked me a lot was, how long is this game?
Yes.
And I said, 30 minutes. I said, 20 to 30 minutes. And they would say, oh, great, I was looking for something short. Yeah. So, think about that, designers. Like, I mean, and I don't know, it's hard because I don't like making longer games. I don't mind playing longer games, but I don't like making longer games. So, it's hard for me, it's easy for me to say, hey, designers, I noticed, and this is the second year in a row I've noticed this, that people seem to like games that run around 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
If your game takes 30 to 40 minutes, maybe just say 30 minutes.
Yeah. On my sell sheet for Scrappers, I wrote 40 to 60 minutes because that's how much it was running when I started.
Uh-huh.
But by the end, I was hitting like 35 minutes per game.
Right.
Paring it down. And I felt okay with 40 to 60 minutes, and I feel even better at 35. But you're absolutely right. If you're going to go to Unpub with a game that takes 2 hours to play, and you tell people that before they sit down, so first of all, you have to tell them that before they sit down.
Yes.
You have to do that. Otherwise, they're going to get an hour in, they're going to be checking their watches, and they're going to say, how much do we have left? And they're going to get pissed when you say another hour.
Right.
But then when you tell them, like 2 hours... then they're probably going to say, oh, I don't really have time for that.
Right.
Or, you know what, let me walk around and I'll come back.
Right.
Which means I'm not coming back.
Right.
Yeah. When one couple came up and they said, how long does it take to play? And I had a group of four playing at the time. And I said, well, these guys are about 20 minutes out from finishing it. Two-player game takes about 30 minutes. And they said, we're going for quantity over quality. So maybe we'll come back later. Like, so even as a couple, 30 minutes was too much for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so that's probably good advice for next year, for anybody coming next year,
right,
thinking about coming.
And I guess I would just say, like, it's okay to have a longer game. Just,
oh, of course.
Manage your expectations as to what you're going to get. And if you are a designer who listens to our show who had a longer game,
yeah,
let us know what your player count was. And, you know, your game count was and how that worked out. Obviously,
yeah,
your game count's going to just be organically lower because you had to play longer.
Yeah.
Whereas the reason I got almost as many playtests in as Rob is because with less time is simply because my game played faster than yours did.
Right.
I mean, right? So,
right. Yep.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that makes a difference. And that is another cool thing is more playtests are nice,
mm-hmm,
to get in. You know, I set my goal at 10. If I play it 10 times and get some good feedback, win. I'm happy. I feel like it was justified that I came. Anything after that is gravy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And some of the best advice I got was early on, and that was really helpful. What else was I going to say about that? So, you know, just, like, don't be afraid to engage people. Don't be afraid. I mean, they came to play games.
Right.
Tell them why they want to play yours. Oh, the other thing I was going to say was if you have a longer game, maybe also bring a smaller game you have, right? So you've got a double pitch, right? So when you say, hey, I've got a... Whoa, we are passing a car here on a flatbed.
Yeah.
And it looks like somebody was out four-wheeling and
they
lost.
With a lift kit and a bunch of big knobby tires, it is thrashed.
Yeah, the knobby tire is bent out sideways,
yeah,
which I believe is not stock. So... Anyways, so have a smaller game. So when somebody says, what do you got? You know, and you're like, oh, I've got a 60-minute game. And they're like, oh, we're looking for something shorter. Well, hey, I also have a 15-minute game. You want to try that?
Yeah.
So I know Robert or Senior Bob, mm-hmm, He did that. He had a game, and I can't remember. We played Flooded Forest, which, by the way, was super fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yep.
It was a game about the Amazon. You were in the Amazon rainforest, the river specifically,
mm-hmm.
and there's a flooding season where it floods out like crazy. And in the game, all of the fish swim out from the river to spawn because of all the food that becomes available in the flooded areas. And then the predators get introduced, and then they start chasing you back to the river, basically, as it starts to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super fun game.
It was.
I liked it. It was different. And that game, was that like a 30 to 40 minute game, do you think? Or did it take 60?
I can't remember. I think we played it about a half an hour. He said it's about an hour, but I think we played it less in half the time.
Okay, and we were pretty moving with a purpose when we were playing.
Pretty fun.
We knew what we wanted to do, and it's because we've played, a lot of games, so,
sure.
I mean, two non-gamers playing that, I bet you it would take them an hour, because they
sure.
wouldn't be sure what they're doing, and it was pretty easy in that game to think of what you wanted to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be like, I want to do this or this. Oh, Rob took that spot. I'll do this. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? So that was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was super fun. But what I was going to say he did was, and I'm bummed. Sorry, Robert, I didn't get to play it. I really wanted to play. He had a pirate game where you were shooting at each other down a track, and I really wanted to play it and then didn't get a chance to get over to. So next time we see each other, bring that because I want to try it. So he had a short game and a longer game. And even though that one game wasn't that long, he had both, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
I had a backup game. I had Hip City with me, but I didn't end up playing it really with anybody but a couple designers. And for that, I was just playing it for some feedback on some new things I'm trying with it.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that as long as you're engaging to people and, you're outgoing, that will help. And I know sometimes that's hard for people. I'm not always a huge fan of being outgoing, but I do my best to pretend and...
But, like, seriously, when somebody walks up and stops at your table and looks at your sign or your sell sheet or whatever, and they're there, even if they don't say, hey, tell me about this, they're curious.
Right.
And you need to engage them. There's no better opportunity.
I had one or two people come up and look at the sign and then glance back at the book and be like, yep, this is it. And that made me super excited because it meant they read the write-up in the book and liked it enough that it drew them to come see me.
Yeah.
And that made me really happy because Rob and I both took a lot of time back and forth at one day emailing each other.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do here for, like, my little thing that I have to do? Because it was due that night, I think. And, and you and I both struggled with that because they limit you to the number of words you can have.
Yeah.
Because it was funny. You're like, man, you're having a hard time with this. And then you're like, see, look, I did this. And I'm like, that's like twice as long as it can be. You're like, what?
Yeah. Oh, and on that, so that's funny. I wrote my thing and then realized it was almost three times as many characters as we were allowed. And then I copy and pasted that into Word and then did a character count and then pared it down until it fit exactly the number of characters. And then when I got home that night, I pasted it into the form. Here's the thing, though. When Word counts characters, it does not count spaces.
So no!
I had to, in a rushed amount of time, because the deadline was looming, I had to chop it again to
That sucks. I didn't know about that. Oh, that's terrible.
So thanks a lot, Word. I guess it's called Word, not character. So.
That's true. So, the other thing was, what else was, we got to play some other designers' games. That was fun. I got to play Many Moons by Tagmire. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And we made some good changes to that, like based on, we played it several times and were able to offer some good suggestions that he said panned out. And it was great because I was one of his first play testers because I didn't have a table yet. So I was like, oh, I'll play your game. So we played it several times and, yeah, and that was really good. The feedback seemed to be helpful to him, and some of the feedback he took, he was using later, and he said it was working really well, and that made me super happy because, you like to help, right? You like to make sure that the ideas you're giving are good.
Yep.
So.
And I got to play an as-yet-unannounced Board Game of the Month Club game. Am I allowed to talk about that?
You can talk about playing it, but you can't say what it was.
Okay. Can I talk about who the designer is?
I think so. I'm pretty sure they sent out a list of who the designers are.
Did they? Oh, they did.
Yeah.
So. Okay. All right. So I got to play my Board Game of the Month Club game that I gave to Jason for that, and I can't say what it is. I will say that I had an idea that was maybe half of a game, and I gave it to Jason, and he and Ben did a lot of development work on it and turned it into a for real game that is for real, that I really enjoyed a lot. And so, super happy about that. I couldn't be more pleased with how that turned out.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did not get to try that one.
It's good. It's good. What else do we play?
I also played Halfling Harvest by Brian Hahn. Triple Trait Games. I met him and his wife. They were awesome. And I got to play the game a few times. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. So that was another good designer game I got to try.
Played Help Wanted.
Oh, yes.
Which
that was
Help
fun.
Wanted.
Yeah.
That's how that's supposed to be said. That is one by Brian.
Ryan.
What is Brian's last name?
Ryan.
Oh, it's Ryan?
It's Ryan.
Oh, man, I feel terrible now. I was calling him Brian.
You were calling him Brian the whole time?
Yeah.
You're the best.
I'm the worst, apparently. So, I had that problem last year with Roger Hicks. I kept calling him Bob. I feel terrible.
Well, to
I'm
be
sorry,
fair,
Roger.
Though, to be fair, though, Roger's Twitter handle was Bob.
Yeah, anyway.
So you wonder, like, hey, maybe he just wants to be called Bob.
Turns out I'm bad with names. Anyway, so Help Wanted was super fun. Like, that was still a proto.
Yeah, it's just a prototype.
If I could have bought it on the spot, I absolutely would have.
I would have, too. It was a lot of fun.
I want to go home and just rewrite the cards so that Christine and I can play it at home.
That is probably not okay.
No, I'm sure it's not, but... So Help Wanted, I hope he gets that published soon, because that was awesome, and I will buy it, as soon as that Kickstarter is available.
And that was, by the way, that was, Ryan Cowler.
Ryan Cowler. Yeah. Sorry, Ryan.
I had to look up Ryan's last name. I actually thought it was Cowler. I did. I almost said Ryan Cowler, but I thought, you're so bad with names that you're probably wrong. So yeah. I looked it up to make sure. but yeah, so that was good times. The game is silly and goofy, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think we had some good feedback for it.
I think so. I think we helped with some positive
tighten it
change.
Up a little. So, I saw some other games that looked cool that I wanted to try but didn't get to. I saw a game there called Point Salad.
Yeah.
By Adam McIver. You know, let's talk about Adam McIver for a minute. Adam McIver? Screw you and all your talents, okay? It's not cool, bro. He, like, can design good games, and he's, like, one of the best graphic designers that's working right now in the industry, like, on these games that we're seeing published.
Uh-huh.
And he can do fantastic artwork, too. Like,
Triple threat.
I'm super jealous of that. It's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to somebody else, and they're like, it just seems unfair that Adam McIver designing games has Adam McIver at his disposal to do all the other Adam McIver-y things he needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I was like, Adam, that's not fair. But he's a super nice dude.
I think I've met him, actually.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Yeah. No, he's super nice. So
I can forget something else that I played.
And I also got to talk for a little bit with his fiance Carrie. She's also super nice. I think I met her briefly at Gen Con last year. Mm-hmm. But they were both man in the booth at the table with his games.
Okay. Gosh, I can't remember. I know I played something else, but I was tied to a table longer than you were.
Indeed. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You got
yeah.
around more.
So.
I got up in the morning and did that, and then it's all day Saturday. Sunday we went to dinner. Who did we go to dinner with?
On which day? Saturday? Well, yeah. Friday nights we went to dinner with some people first.
Oh, yeah, right.
Friday night, we went to dinner with...
With Robert and Jason Kutarski, his wife Lisa, and Ryan.
Yep.
Okay.
So...
And then Saturday, we had dinner with Jason and Lisa again.
Yep. And I think it was just the four of us on Saturday, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we came back in, and that's when we played Help Wanted.
Yep.
Something else.
And then Sunday, we just had dinner, the two of us, because nobody else was around at first for dinner.
Right.
And then,
Then we went back to the hotel room and just...
Vegged. We were going to play games, but we were both so tired.
Yeah.
So we talked about going out, and then
I made the mistake of having two beers with my dinner. So, I was done.
So, yeah, we were both pretty tired. I did buy a couple games while I was there.
Yeah.
I was given a copy of the published game, which was, I got that because they had some extra giveaway stuff they hadn't given away, so they let the designers from the tag tables first go up, which I thought was very nice of them.
Yeah.
And get just take a copy of something. And I don't have that when I have the deck building game, but I actually do have the little Bloodle the Noodle expansion because I thought that was cool. And so it's on my shelf with all my other stuff. I just, it's a nice little hello to Unpub, right? You know, yeah. Since that's such an important thing to us. So I bought Rhino Hero because everyone tells me it's amazing and it looked really cool. And then I found a new printed copy of Hey, That's My Fish, which you and Will had bought a long time ago, really cheaply. And I didn't get it, and I wished I had because it's a great kids game. So I found a little small copy of that, which is like packaged probably way better than it used to be because it's a lot more compact now.
Yeah, all the components look smaller. I kind of liked the bigger components of the copy that I have. I actually ended up giving that to my cousins. I brought it with me to see my cousin and her kids several years ago, and they just went nuts for it. So I left it there and let them have it.
Well, that was very nice of you.
And I kind of wish that I could get another copy of that.
You could have bought one last night.
But I like the full size thing, it came with really big penguin minis that were like, you know, almost 2 inches tall, and they were all painted.
Oh wow! Okay.
Whereas yours was going to have little small penguin minis.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
I like saving space.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, Hey, That's My Fish is a fun game. It really is a fun game.
So I got that, and I think those are the only three games I picked up. Chris Rollins, right?
Yes.
Yep. He gave us a copy of a game, which was very appreciated. He's a builder. And
gosh, what is that? Well, I don't remember. I think it's called Under the Bed.
Yes, I think that is what it's called. I haven't looked at it fully yet, but
right.
It's a cool little promo game he made to give away, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, to kind of promote. He's starting a publishing
team. And I thought that was great. So
Look forward to play that.
Yep. No, it's a micro game, so I thought that was super cool. I like the case for it that it came in.
Yeah.
He works at a game shop, so he was able to get a hold of that, and I thought that was really cool.
Yep.
No, that was really nice, though, so thank you, Chris, for stopping by and doing that. We will definitely be playing that in the near future.
Yep, there was a Van Ryder Games ad in the Unplugged program with pictures of Saloon Tycoon and Salvation Road boxes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was
nice.
That was a nice surprise. I didn't know that was going to be in there. Gosh, you know, in hindsight, I should have had that, like, up on my, at my table with a big circle around it saying me or something, you know?
That would have been smart.
That would have been great.
Should have done that.
Should have done that. Shoot. I did meet, several backers of Saloon Tycoon, and that was super awesome. There was a group of four guys that played it last year at Unpub, and, they didn't have time to play Scrappers this time, but they did come over and say hi, and had a lot of kind things to say about Saloon Tycoon, about the Kickstarter, and they were supporters, so thank you guys. I also met a gentleman, I don't remember his name, but his son's name was Thomas, and he and Thomas played Scrappers, and I think they had a good time. Thomas stomped all over his dad, but they apparently came to Unpub because they read, he had backed Saloon Tycoon, and in the comments on the campaign when it was over, I put a post in there saying, hey, by the way, I'm going to be at Unpub in a few months. And he lived in Baltimore and didn't even know that Unpub existed.
Well,
and
that's
so he
awesome
saw that and said, hey, well, holy cow, well, I've got to go.
That's
so
great.
That was really fun.
I also met a guy named Jeff Johnston. He has a game coming out with Breaking Games called Moonquake Escape.
Oh, that looked so cool.
Yeah.
It
was amazing.
I wish I'd been able to play it.
So it's one of those things that only Ad Magic would attempt to print.
Yeah,
because
right.
It looks so crazy. It's multi-tiered.
Right, crazy custom.
Like spins and stuff.
Yeah,
but
so
it looks really cool. And to hear Jeff Johnston do the pitch on it was great because, like, I walked up and I was just like, hey, how's it going, man? He's like, this game looks cool, doesn't it? I'm like, this game looks really cool. He's like, the best way to explain to you how this game works is just to tear it apart. And he pulls all the components off the board. And then he's like, now I'm going to rebuild it. Like, and he does this whole speech where he's like, these people decided to build a prison on this moon. He's like, what they didn't know was that the molten core was volatile. And he puts the swivel pling down, and it's actually printed like a molten core. Like, every layer, even the ones you can't see, are printed.
That's great.
That's
great.
And it was... So basically, he tells you the story of how the game works, while putting the game together, it's got like a moon that's a ping pong ball sized ball with numbers on it that comes up on a post out from underneath the spinner up to the top. So it still rotates and you can spin the ball on your turn you know how many actions you get, I think, or something like that. So it was, bummed I didn't get to play it. Once it's on sale, I'm definitely picking up a copy. I don't even care if it's fun. I just want to look at it.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it was pretty fun. So, and he's funny because he's like, I'm not a salesman, you know. I'm not trying to promote all my games and stuff. So I had said maybe we get him on the podcast sometimes because he was really fun to talk to. And I'm like, well, you should be because you're really good.
That's great.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of the Unpub update, huh? Or the final report?
Yeah. So overall, Unpub, fantastic again. Definitely need to go. It's a destination convention for us now.
Yeah.
I really am excited that we're going to be able to go to Origins this year too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many good things happened at this that I will be able to use to make my games better for Origins, for pitching at Origins. So, you know, I think that's a real good thing.
Yep.
Whereas last year we didn't have that because we didn't go to... Did we go to Origins last year? Or was that the year before?
It was the year before.
Right. So this year we are going to Origins. That'll be great. We'll be there for a couple days. Two nights, I think. We're going to go in on Friday. Leave Friday early morning. Get there by noonish on Friday. Be there all day Friday. And all day Saturday, and then leave pretty early on Sunday, or decently early on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We do have some questions.
Ooh, all right.
So, not a lot of them, but we do have a couple. So, we asked for some questions, and here's what we got. The very first question is from Josh Mills, who says, what was the best suggestion you got for the Minecart Madness that you overlooked until somebody else told you? So, I got a suggestion from Josh Mills that I should get rid of the cards in Minecart Madness. And when he said that, I was like, dude, there's no way. I'm not going to get rid of the cards. And then as we were talking, he said, well, then just make sure they always have the cards in their hand. Give them the option all the time. And so what I took away from that was, let them have the cards in their hand all the time. And I tried that. And it was great because people could always have the cards, but they hated having the cards in their hands.
Uh-huh.
So after that game, I said, you know what? Then Jason Tagmeyer came and played, and he said, dude, just get rid of these cards. And I was like, oh, gosh, you're right. I mean, if they can do every action all the time, why am I giving them cards? Why not just let them do the actions? So when Mills came back, I said, Tagmeyer had a great idea. He said, get rid of the cards. I legitimately forgot that Josh gave me that advice because my takeaway from him was use all the powers all the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? That was the first thing I said, you jerk. So that was great. And to be fair, Josh, I saw this question ahead of time, which is why I purposely didn't say earlier that you gave me good feedback because I wanted this question to be funny. So thank you for all your good feedback. Also, Jason Tagmeyer gave me good feedback. So that was good.
Yeah, great.
Our next question is, Matt Warden asked us, we asked for some would you rather questions, just
those
to
are
be
fun
different.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And Rob, you can go first on this one. He says, would you rather hold 2 tablespoons of peanut butter in your mouth for an hour or drink a cup of yellow mustard?
2 teaspoons of peanut butter for an hour?
Tablespoons.
That's a lot of peanut butter.
It is.
For an hour?
Yes.
Or drink a cup of mustard.
Yeah.
Yellow mustard.
Yeah.
Like French's yellow mustard.
I think so.
It seems to me like the peanut butter would dissolve from the saliva over the course of that hour.
Right.
I would guess that, like, within about 10 minutes, that peanut butter would be gone.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Whereas the mustard... And peanut butter does taste good. Mustard is a flavor enhancer, right? Mustard enhances the flavor of whatever it is with. Mustard on its own, especially a lot of mustard, is kind of heavy.
It's
kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Drinking a cup of mustard, and we're thinking like the measurement cup, not like a glass of mustard, right? That would be a lot of mustard. Even though it would be over quickly, that's a lot. I got to go with the peanut butter.
I would actually go with the peanut butter for the exact same reasons you described.
Yeah.
I think I would throw up if I drank that much mustard.
Yeah.
I do love mustard, but in that capacity, I think it would be bad. So, yeah, I think that I would go with the peanut butter and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Here, I'll take this one first.
Okay.
Chris Kopak asked us, would you rather have one massive hit game that gets rethemes, that gets a ton of rethemes, or a ton of indie titles with fair to moderate success at most? Hands down, ton of indie titles. I would rather design more games than just have one massive hit, because I think if you have one massive hit game, it doesn't mean you're a good designer. I mean, you might be. To be clear, I'm not saying you're not. You might be. But if all you have is one massive hit game, you may have just gotten lucky. But if you have a bunch of indie titles that have fair to moderate success, I would rather have that. I probably won't be able to do it full time based on that, but I think that I would like that better.
Hmm.
So yeah.
Boy, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the right answer.
Well, give your answer. You don't have to give the right answer.
I don't know,
why do we
man.
Give the right answer on this podcast?
I mean, like, if I made one game that was hugely successful and kept getting rethemed over and over again and was a huge seller, then I mean, my name would be known, and I would have other opportunities. I mean, those are other opportunities. I mean, is this a question from this perspective of, you're dead now, this is the end result?
I mean, he said you get one massive hit that gets tons of rethemes, or... So you could theoretically even be doing the rethemes. So yeah. Would you rather have made Dominion or have a catalog of cool indie games to your name? That, and I'll say define indie games and published by moderate-sized game publishers. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like the one massive hit is such an open door. It means access, right? It means access. It means people will take you seriously when you want to show them something else.
That's true.
You know, I think I got to say that.
All right, that's fair, sellout. That's cool. All right, your turn. Imaginary Thomas says to us, "Is participating in design contests a legitimate way to break into the industry? A fast track."
I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, if that's how you break any, okay, any way you can break in is a legitimate way of breaking in.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, yeah, of course. If it doesn't change the fact that you designed that game, and you came up with that idea, and you made a cool game that's fun. Whatever the inspiration or the impetus to make that happen, it's all legit. In the end, you made a cool game that somebody's into. So yeah, of course, totally, totally valid. I mean, the first time anybody ever heard of me was on the tabletop deathmatch, frankly, and that game was garbage. It was garbage. But it got me a small nugget of name recognition. Tiny, tiny little kernel of name recognition that I don't think is directly responsible for Tycoon or Tea Party getting picked up, but it's a step. Everything is a little step to the next thing. Absolutely. Do you disagree?
No, I agree. Whether or not it's a fast track, though, I would say it's not any faster than. It's not any faster, less, more legitimate than designing a good game and getting it in front of the right publisher and getting published. I would say that I honestly think your odds of getting published in a non-contest setting are more likely than in a contest overall.
Yes, I agree with that.
So,
yeah.
I mean, still enter those contests if you like entering contests, because It's just you working your design mind and coming up with new ideas or retrofitting ideas that you have. And that's great. That's good for your brain.
Yeah. And I've talked to when we started this show, I did a few Game Crafter contests because it was good. I liked it, not expecting to win, not expecting that if I did win, it would mean success. I did it because I liked it as just as a deadline, as something to a self-imposed deadline.
Right.
For me to focus on something, work something through to completion, just to make sure that I could, right? And I've talked before about how I feel about some contests that are poorly run, and that has kind of turned me off of contests in a lot of ways. But nevertheless, I would never criticize anyone else for entering a contest because you're doing something, and the most important thing is that you do something. You know, you make the decision to do something. Create something, try it, play it, and any trigger that you need to make that happen is a good thing.
Cool.
All
right. Last question here.
Okay.
From Andrew Wilson says, would you rather get to design a game based on the IP of your choice or have Water Balloon Washout / Saloon Tycoon be a major motion picture?
I would rather Saloon Tycoon become a major motion picture because that means more royalty money.
Well, if I'm taking money out of the equation, I would much rather get to design a game based on my choice IP because that also could mean a decent amount of money. Because I realize that if Saloon Tycoon became a major motion picture, you're not going to get that much of that money. So... yeah.
But if you take money out of the equation, you took money out of the equation and put it back in.
That's true.
So you could sell more games. So you just broke your own rule there.
I would really be excited to work out a big IP that I really love.
Oh, yeah, that'd be super cool.
That said, I love the idea of a Water Balloon Washout trailer that's like, in a world where water balloons fly freely. You know, that would be sweet.
That's a good start. Finish it. What's the rest?
I don't have the rest.
Give me the rest, Jason.
Four kids are changing the neighborhood. Watch them die behind cardboard boxes, use water cannons, and sometimes kink the hose.
Explosion!
Yep.
Okay. That's good enough. I like it.
I like the idea of, like, it cutting to somebody, like, spraying water, and then some person like kinks the hose, or like things are about to get kinky, kinks the hose. Then that basically is a Michael Bay movie, right there.
Yep.
So especially if it was Megan Fox that said that and kinked the hose.
And then you need somebody to look very confused when the water stops, and then they point the open stop hose end into their face, and then the kid unkinks the hose, and it blasts it in the other guy's face, and then there's another explosion.
Yep.
And then. Out of the fire comes the title, Water Balloon Washout.
Yeah.
And then another explosion.
I hope that some Hollywood type is listening to this because I think we just made that movie. Sold.
Yeah. I mean,
who would not
want to
publish that movie?
You know what? Nickelodeon Films? It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So. All right.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about the documentary that we got interviewed for.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yes. There was a couple of people who were at UmPub, and they're shooting a documentary on the game designers of North Carolina.
Yep.
All those crew. There were a lot of them.
There were.
Yeah, they all had, like, team jerseys and stuff. They were all probably pretty smelly by the end of Sunday.
Yes.
But that was kind of cool.
Good that was cool, yeah.
And we got interviewed by the two who are shooting the film. And I don't recall their names now because, again, bad with names, I'm a jerk. But
kind of a jerk, wow.
Yeah. I'm bad with names, guys. I'm sorry. So that was cool. Just talked a little bit about the history of BTG and what we like about UmPub and what we are into with game design. And I wish them all the best with that documentary.
Yeah, hopefully we get to see it someday. That'd be cool.
Yep.
And that we look awesome in it.
Hopefully we look super awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, builders, we're forgetting people and we're forgetting games, and I'm sorry. If we spent time together, and we forgot to mention you. Shoot us an email, buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com, and remind us, and we'll talk about it on a future recording. And I'm sorry that we have forgotten you, because it was a busy weekend.
And there was a lot of lack of sleep.
A lot of lack of sleep, yeah. How are we doing on time?
Almost 50 minutes, so I'd say we're probably good.
So that's probably good enough here. I think we're getting close to the edge of Ohio. Nah, probably not the edge, but we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Woo! So we'll call it here. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Like I always say, we appreciate it. Thank you for coming to see us at Unpub if you made it. And if you couldn't make it, I hope to see you next year. So if you want to get in touch with us, like I said, send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. I am at poorly_designed. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. Google voice number is 770-TEL-BTG. Like us on Facebook. 5-star reviews on all good podcast sources. And we'll see you guys next week. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast.